Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello and welcome to my show. I'm Sam Parado, and you have arrived, or landed, if you care to think about it that way, at Expedition Self. Wow. I want to just mention before I dive into today's show title, which is What You Should Expect, I want to tell you that on Friday at 11 a.m., I have this great opportunity, which is kind of a new experience for me, to interview Agape Stassinopoulos, who has just published a second book called Speaking with Spirit. And there's a whole lot of validation for what she's written and people that have really respond and have been inspired by her. And so I hope you will join me here on OM Times TV. And if you'll go to my website, samparado.com, there'll be a link where you can actually join at 11 a.m. on Friday of, what is that? That would be January 21st. She's also the author, if you don't recognize her, of Wake Up to the Joy of You. So anyway, a new experience in my future here. All right, here we are. In today's show, we're going to talk about what you should expect, but with some side trips into entitlement, deservability, and acceptance. So I thought I would share with you, you know, I have a particular way that I land on the show subjects for each week, and I'm pretty much open to any possibility beginning the day after the last show. So I don't have a long list of shows, right, that I'm like I'm pre-planning or whatever. So any and all conversations are truly fair game. So anything I read or watch on the internet, I kind of note, you know, what draws my attention. And then somewhere on Monday or Tuesday, I check in on some of the topics I took note of in my head. And I see if they have moved my heart. You know, do they make me feel something, or do I feel kind of inspired? And this week's show, it was kind of interesting, but it started out as a conversation about how people refer to other generations in kind of derogatory ways, or they pigeonhole them or put them in box. You know, like the problem with today is that they don't do this like we did it. Right? Or those millennials, they just don't want to work the way we did or stay at jobs anymore. So, you know, as of Sunday, that's actually what I kind of thought I was going to talk about, you know, how we relate to groups of people that have evolved differently. But then, you know, when I sat down to write about it, it just didn't hold the same visceral attention for me. And so we landed here. And we landed here because I started picturing all of these moments when people have expectations of others, which you can see there's kind of a little bit of a link between that previous thought I was going to have about talking about how millennials are put in a box, but this idea of how people have expectations of others and they're not met. And a lot of times, you know, it turns into this break in relationship, especially if we know them or on a more casual level, it turns into these moments when we get angry and frustrated, disappointed. And I think that there's a ton of this going on right now. I also think it's a confusing topic. Should I have an expectation? Do I have a right to have an expectation? You know, if my expectation doesn't get met, what do I do about it? So there's a lot of the in-between space in this idea of expectations. I'm going to say this word a lot in this hour. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4 syllables. My mouth's going to get a workout. And so I thought it would be a worthwhile topic to help you handle life right now, because I do think there's a whole lot of life is not meeting my expectations going on. So remember, my show is a call-in show. And although I don't always get callers, when I do, I am happy. So here's the number, 202-570-7057. Okay, well, I found this haiku poem when searching for my end of show poem, and I want to read it to you just as a way to kick the conversation off. It's by Sudhanshu Kumar, and it's called Expectations, and it was written in November of 21. So here you go. If you want to be disappointed, alone, and hurt, then start expecting. So do you think you have a right to have expectations of others? That's our first question. Do you think you have a right to have expectations of others? And do you feel like your expectations get met most of the time? And what happens when they don't? How do you act? Or to use a little bit more of a challenging word, how do you retaliate? Right? What happens when you don't get your expectations met? So that's it. Do you think you have a right to have expectations of others? Okay, I'm gonna dive right into the center of the deep end here and open this package. No, you do not have a right. No, you don't have a right. That's my thought. You can disagree with me, but really I'm thinking we're gonna start right there. No, you don't have a right to have expectations of others. You can have expectations, but you're not entitled to get your needs met by someone else. You can meditate about being deserving of all the things you want, but you're not in charge or in power over anyone, or life for that matter. And that's where this I have a right thing comes from. I'm picking up the vibes. You're like, of course I have the right to expect my expectations to be met. And I was thinking, yeah, but actually you really don't. I was driving into a parking lot over the weekend. And this person, I was turning into a parking lot right off of a road. And this person was sitting in the middle of it. And there wasn't enough room for me to pull in. Holy moly, did I feel like I had a right to expect that person to have placed their car on the other side of the driveway. Oh, yes, I did. And she was not following the rules for sure. Right? And here's another one. I was pulling out of Starbucks the other night, and the way you pull out, you pull onto kind of a road that's a little bit active. And this person, you know, as I'm trying to pull out, they just drive their car up right in front of me rather than leaving the 10 feet so I could get out. And yes, I totally felt entitled to have my expectations met. I got a couple more I want to just give you just as a starting point. These are really small ones, but I sometimes find it's easier to get in a conversation with small examples. So, or like when I walk into a restaurant and they just leave me standing there, or the waitress doesn't come to the table for 15 minutes. I definitely feel like I have a right to have my expectations met then, because you know I'm going to spend money, right? That's always a really interesting thing about my, you know, anyone, I think, our sense of deservability about how we should get something is if I'm paying for it, of course I should have a right to any expectation that I have. And then let me throw in one more. When I go to the doctor's office and I get there on time and they don't see me for an hour and a half. Yeah, again, I definitely have a thing about not being taken care of on time, because I have this expectation about how I will be cared about. So I'm thinking you have some of these examples too. Moments when you have an expectation, one that you feel entitled about being met, and it doesn't happen. Yeah? The thing about feeling like you deserve to have your expectation met is it becomes the springboard for anger and frustration and disappointment instead of growth as a person. So this brings me to the point I started with. You are not entitled to anything. You don't deserve to have your expectations met. You're not in control or the ruler of how life goes and what other people do. So let's look at why, way down deep, we still feel this way, right? I still felt this way because I know I still feel this way, even though I know it's not true. As a lot of no's in this ways. Way down deep, you might find that there are some rules that got put in place a long time ago in your psyche. And these rules, they might have come with discipline or spanking or some punishment when you didn't follow them, right? Or even some really big time reinforcement about why they were a good way to be. And they got set in your psyche as the way to be. So I'd say that the more intense, judgmental, and indignant you become when your expectations aren't met might be tied to the degree to which you were in trouble for not following those rules yourself. Make sense? So I got in trouble for eating too much of the good stuff at the table, like taking too much, like the desserts and the butter and the food I loved. And because of that, when I go out to events or like group shared food experiences, I have a whole thing if I watch someone take too much of something. I know now, don't be judgmental because I'm really sharing like openly about this. See, expectations tend to fuel judgments. So you could ask yourself, well, what were the rules of your lifetime? Right? What were the ways of being that you either got in trouble for or were really, really reinforced as the best way, how to be good, right? We get a lot of that, be a good girl or be a good boy, right? And this is the stuff that plays into it. And how have those rules translated to your own expectations of you and others? I can make a list a mile long, like being considerate or working hard, pushing your chair in when you get up from the table, putting the lid down on the toilet seat. I mean, the top lid, not just the toilet seat part. You know what I'm talking about. You know, keeping your word when you promise something, being honest. Yeah, like every rule you have of life, it most likely becomes an expectation you have of others. So another thing that causes our expectations to turn into this personal right is having a need when you're young and not having it met and feeling some pain or discomfort or hurt, like being affected by it. So it's like going to school and getting picked on and feeling hurt and afraid, maybe even feeling like you didn't quite belong. And so now you have this expectation that it shouldn't happen like that. And so when it does, you've made it into a very defined way that life should go. I hear people say things like, you shouldn't have to experience this or that. Or you have a right to expect more of your boss or your friend or your neighbor, right? But here's the thing. You actually have work to do with each and every one of your expectations. Remember, I'm all about going inside in this whole idea of how do we develop and become more conscious. So that's the idea, right? If you have an expectation, it's a signpost, right? It's a billboard that's saying, hey, woohoo, right? You got some work to do here, right? And that work, what goes with it, it has to do with really feeling what happened when those expectations got set up. Means going in and finding where it started. So I have a whole lot of expectations about how people should communicate so it makes room for others and it causes love and emotional safety to grow and it creates a place where intimacy is more possible. But here's the thing. I want all of this because I didn't have it. It upset my stomach. It made me anxious. I have this deep, deep need to connect emotionally as a way to feel personally like fulfilled. So although there's lots of value that can come from this particular expectation, you might even say, oh, that's good stuff. I just don't to have my expectation met by others. And that's the key. I can engage in having my expectation met, but I don't have a right to have it met. Do you see the difference? I can engage in having it. I can create with it. I can invite other people to want to do that and to find it for themselves, but I don't have the right to demand it. That's the difference. So these are some good questions. I'd love to hear from you at 202-570-7057 when we return from break. And I would love to hear, like, where do you have expectations? How do you handle those expectations? And what happens if they don't get met?
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Okay, I am Sam Parado. You are back with Expedition Self, and we are talking about expectations and entitlement and deservability today. And I'm looking for somebody to call in and share a little bit about this. But in the meantime, I always have a story. I have an example of one of these moments from a long time ago about this difference that I'm really hoping you make sense of, this difference between creating from expectations and demanding or expecting that you have the right that somebody meets them. So I think I was probably in my 20s, and I decided that giving a great hug had something to do with my expectation of intimacy and connection. Right? I mean, I thought I should always get a hug that I liked. And I was trying to give them too, right? It wasn't one-sided. But so that meant that every hug I gave or I got, without kind of realizing it, I was assessing for whether or not I thought it was warm enough, embracing enough, squishy enough, freely given, right? So I had a whole host of criteria for whether or not my expectation was going to be met. And I had a relative who was kind of stiff and aloof when he hugged. You know, it felt like he didn't really give himself over to it, right? Like, he only did it because he had to, and he would have liked to avoid it if possible. You know, at the time, he would even describe his daughter, who was like a year old, as saying, "I don't think she likes to be hugged. She's like me." Of course, I would roll my eyes at that, of course. So anyway, every time he'd go to hug me, I would coach him about how to hug. You know, here, a little closer. We'll see if you wrap your arms around, because I felt so entitled to have a great hug. I mean, sheesh, like, like the way my head wound it up was, if I was going to bring myself to the hug and be open and vulnerable, then here's the expectation part. Well, then he should too, right? Well, this went on for about 3 months, and I was thinking in my own head I was making progress because I'd nudge him or verbally mention how he could hug me better each time. Again, giving him my very best words so that, you know, I thought, oh, I'm getting my expectation met. And then one day we were out to dinner and headed out to the parking lot to get in our cars. He literally turned around and sneered at me, completely understandable at this point. Do not tell me anymore how to hug. I do not want to hug. I'm not going to hug. And I don't care whether you like my hugs or not. Wow. I was like, whoa. That was a great learning experience for me. I'm sure you can imagine why. I can't help but think about this story when talking about expectations, because it totally and completely exemplifies this idea of being entitled and thinking I have a right. And it was unfair to him. It certainly didn't take into account his right to choose to hug or not to hug, right? And what fueled it was a bunch of my own inner needs not getting met from life. Now, you know, I never got in trouble for not hugging, so it didn't fall into that category. But I did have a bunch of needs about emotional connection that didn't get met. And that was what fueled my very, very righteous expectation. So you see, this is the issue with feeling like you have a right to get your expectations met. The other person doesn't really matter. I'm going to say this again. I just want it to really sink in. The issue with feeling like you have a right to get your expectations met is that the other person doesn't really matter. Who they are, how they see the world, the reasons they are the way they are, all of it, it takes a backseat to what you have decided is your expectation. I didn't care about the woman sitting in the middle of the driveway. I just cared that she was in my way. And really, the hardest thing about this is that expectations actually are often based on the best we can be, or the way it would work best, if I said it another way. If that woman did get out of the driveway and move to the side, more cars could pull in and there would be more flow and convenience. Right? I have an expectation that I should be able to walk down the street and be safe. I have an expectation that I won't be yelled and screamed at by the assistant at the doctor's office. I have an expectation that if I follow the rules on the road, then I won't be in a car accident. They're all worthy expectations, but they don't really match up with reality. And the thing about that is that we're living in a time where a lot of expectations are not matching up. And they're being brought forward because we're looking for societal change. We're looking for some form of evolving, right? And yet, how we approach it, how we bring ourselves to it, may make all the difference with whether or not somebody else is actually going to try on this thing that we have an expectation about. I have so many stories about this. I realize that some shows I tell lots of stories and some shows I don't. This is a story show. You know, when I was in high school, I was a passenger in a car with a friend, and we had 20 minutes and thought we could get to the bakery down the street to get a donut before school. And as we were going down the street, a gentleman in a very big car ran a stop sign and broadsided us. Now, it was a shaky, uppy, kind of scary accident. And my friend, who got sliced up on her arm pretty good, she got out of that car and just began to light into that man who had hit us. Oh my gosh, the words and the attack that came out of her mouth, because he clearly didn't meet her expectation to not hit us. You know, I was so embarrassed and in shock. And of course, she was scared and in shock. And all of that, I deserve not to be put at risk. It didn't leave any room for humanness in that space. You see, this is the thing. We're so busy trying to take all of the unknowns out of life, trying to make up for what we've experienced before as not going the way we want or the way we've been taught to live, that we'd rather just work off of the expectations than recognize things are just not that settled. They're just not going to go the way we want. People really do need you to compensate for what they're not thinking about. And that we can't take anything for granted, right? That we'll need to be willing to engage other people's will, other people's choices, the way the world's working, that we're going to have to and move to the left and curve to the right if we're actually going to get our expectations met. We're going to have to work hard. We're going to have to work through it. We're going to have to put words on it. We're going to have to get some ownership. We're going to have to really, really take ourselves on. So it makes sense that our expectations can be met. And it makes sense that we have expectations. But I want to pull a little piece out and make a big point, big point about this. The only way we grow is when our sense of anything life-based is disrupted. Now, when I say the only way we grow, I'm not saying that we don't get some growth that comes from previous disruptions, but still, for the most of us, we need a life-based disruption. So if we're supposed to be developing a stronger and deeper sense of relationship with ourselves, then not getting our expectations met is one of the ways that life pushes us towards this relationship, right? I understand that, like, on a human everyday, like, make life work, got a lot to get done. We're not looking for a stronger and deeper sense of relationship with ourselves because we've got to focus on doing. But in reality, when we think about a lifetime of growth, a lifetime of becoming ourselves, every time we don't get an expectation met, it really is a gift. It really does give us an opportunity, if we choose to take it, that is. It gives us an opportunity to drop into the inside of who we are and to actually take it seriously. Because at some point, when our expectations aren't met, we're going to try and figure out where that all started and what needs weren't met and where we were held to this set of expectations, maybe even in an extreme way, and where and how we're going to get to know ourselves better. And this is going to help us. This is a big one. It's going to help us actually lessen the expectations that we have of ourselves too. Right? So this brings me to the next point I want to make. That statement, I have a right to have my expectations met, is turned on yourself too. It's turned on you, right? And it's got a hammer a lot of times. Right? When it is, there are parts of you that they don't get heard, they don't get listened to and engaged with and considered. You know, there's not this kind of softness and gentleness that we can bring to ourselves. They're just told to get in line and meet the need. Give me that hug I want. Right? I don't care how you feel about it. We're doing that to ourselves. That's hug scenario. Right? What was going on with the part of me that didn't want, that's what I'm trying to say here. What do you think was going on with part of me that didn't really want to hug him? You know, that might not have been in the mood that day to hug, right? It was totally subjugated and pushed into the background. So, you know, all this conversation about being gentler and kinder to self and the self-love and the self-care stuff that's being shared these days, it's like it's driven from the same place that looks like it's all directed at others. But it really starts with how you direct it towards yourself. And these expectations we have of ourselves Sometimes what I'm actually saying is they're getting misdirected externally. Take some honesty here. Take some real candor to have with yourself. A bit of rigor about what's really happening. Where am I putting myself through something? Right? And then putting other people through it as well. We have huge expectations of ourselves. Huge. They're all the time. They're constant, whether we meet these expectations or not. So this is a big deal. It doesn't take long for a want or a desire to turn into an entitled, as I quote unquote, expectation. And when that happens, we're likely riding over the very top of our whole self with the multiple and conflicting needs, you know? We're likely not listening to the parts of the self that don't want to meet that expectation. They don't want to do that. And there might be some important reasons why. You know, I find myself thinking about moments when I place such expectations, mine are a lot of times about being productive, on myself. When I really work this out, all of a sudden I realize it doesn't change my life at all to have met my expectation. It just smooths it out. So it's super important if we're going to look at expectations that you realize underneath it all, it's time to start listening to all the ones you're placing on yourself. You know, I'm thinking of this person I know whose life doesn't quite work, right? Always a drama, has difficulty, you know, getting the work done that he promises. He seems like he talks a good game, but doesn't always deliver on it. And I often think that to the rest of the world, he would look like someone who doesn't have enough expectations of himself. But I think it's the exact opposite. There's such a conflict for him between the expectations that got placed inside of his space that he took on board in some way, and the way he can't listen to the rest of him, that he's paralyzed. He's numbed out or lost inside. Like his life force energy doesn't have like the freedom to fully express itself. So the only way to shore him up would be to sort out all of those, I have a right to have my expectations met places within him. Because until we do, he can't have wants and desires. Now, I shared about him because I feel like for the parts of you that you feel like you've got it together or you have these expectations and you deliver on them, why doesn't someone else? I would like you to think about the story I just shared or the example of my friend. Remember when I said there's a fine line when wants and desires turn into expectations you're entitled to have met. I wish I could say that your expectations are absolutely deserving of being met, that you should just know that everything you expect will come your way. But think about that. Think about how that works when you are not in control of others' actions or the world or the weather patterns. You see, when we boil it all down, this idea of expectations that we're entitled to, it goes completely against the idea of accepting our place in the universe and accepting that we don't have control and truly learning to be with it. And of creating, experimenting, causing each moment, practicing through agreements and conversation and self-responsibility. It takes another twist though, if you're staying with me, right? When we think we've actually got agreement about something with someone else and it doesn't come to pass. Maybe you're actually sitting over there thinking that. Yeah, but what happens when they said they would do it what happens when they said they understood what I wanted and they were willing to, especially if I'm in like in the lead, right? Or I'm a parent. What happens? I feel like this is one of those big, enormous, giant learning spaces. When this happens, you know, when we ask someone for something to meet our expectations, they seem to agree and then they don't actually do it. Well, then the real chaos, confusion, you know, sarcastically fun begins. And it begins because now we feel as if we've gotten an agreement that equates to we're now entitled, right? We got the agreement. We now definitely have a right to have that expectation met because there it is, right? We've gotten agreement. All right, well, we're going to talk about this when we come back. I would sure love to have a call if you would like to talk about your expectations and particularly what happens when you have an expectation, someone agrees to it, and then they still don't do it.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Well, you are back with me, Sam Parado, and this is Expedition Self. We are talking about expectations today. And before break, we've set up this idea about that you actually get agreement and then the expectation isn't met. Well, I have to tell you, there must be 100, maybe 1,000 reasons why when we think someone has agreed to meet our expectation, they're not actually going to do it. They're not going to do it. And it brings me back around to the idea that we're human. You know, we're needing to see the learning in all things. And so there's more to meeting expectations than what is apparent on the surface. I see it all the time in companies where it seems like people are supposed to do these 10 things and all of a sudden one thing drops off the list. So much is here. So much is here. So let's go through some of the elements that you'll want to look at. All right. So the understanding of your words, is the person's understanding of the words the same as yours? And even if it appears that way, when the expectation doesn't get met, it's like it's telling you that maybe they didn't, in fact, understand the words, or that you didn't understand them in the same way, or that they triggered some emotional attachment from the inside that had them listen in a particular way that you didn't realize. You know, we work so hard to communicate, we actually think we're communicating properly. We believe that if they nod and say yes, then it must be a go. But there's so much more to it. So this is the point where I want to talk about how you handle not getting your expectations met. But before I do, we've got Diane on the line who has a question for us. All right, Diane, what's your question?
Well, first of all, I think this is a new take on something that I feel like I almost do daily. And that is that the word expectation has risen its head so that I feel like I might have a chance of looking at things differently, because my outcome is that I usually get mad. I usually feel like, how many times do I have to tell you how to do this? And then I feel like you understand and you know how to do it, and then when it comes time to deliver, you don't. Now, I would say that equals expectation on my part. So I end up getting frustrated and really mad, and actually I can't, at times I can't even have a conversation that is fruitful, that I come out with good results, because I'm not sure they're going to remember the next time. So I thought this was interesting.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, we're about ready to go into the part about how do you handle it when you don't get your expectations met. And you just described almost everything I'm going to talk about. So you got on just at the right moment.
Okay, super. Well, then I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Okay, thanks so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
So, all right. So it's about how you handle not getting your expectations met. So here's my questions for you. Do you get angry? Do you pout? Do you disengage and just judge the person or situation and walk away vowing never to have expectations again? Do you feel defeated and decide once again that your expectations just won't get met and therefore you don't even really put energy into it? You see, a lot of times the learning process we're in around expectations has a lot to do with how we engage in relationship. And what I mean by this is that when expectations aren't met and someone has indicated a desire to meet them, you're left with questions about how you're relating. Here are just a few. Did I actually collaborate about my expectations, or did I just tell them how it should go? Collaborate can also mean asking them to share what they perceive or how they understand something. You know, do I know why they would want to meet my expectations? What do they have in it for themselves? What did they get out of it? Am I meeting their expectations in the conversation? How much do I understand the way the other person uses pleasing and following direction as a way of creating bonds? Because sometimes that can get in the way of someone's actual listening. To what degree does the other person say they will do something and then they don't do it? How much do I do this? Like, I think it's important to say, geez, this person I've asked a bunch of times to do things and they're not doing it. Well, that says something's got to start being worked at, rather than I'm just going to do it again and again and again. I've got a few more questions here. Am I expressing what I'm really feeling when I talk about my expectations? Is it coming from a place that's safe for them to hear? Am I overexpressing so they become overwhelmed by what I'm saying? And here's a big one. Do they feel like they have a choice to say no? I don't really want to meet your expectations. I don't understand how to meet them. I am afraid that I won't come through the way you want me to. It's too hard. Whatever it is, right? If you get to that level of questioning, then you'll also want to look at how this connects. This is kind of a big idea. How it connects to your relationships with the authority figures in your early life who were basically having expectations of you and how they handled it. There's going to be something in there that you're going to see. Remember earlier in the show, I mentioned what happened when people had expectations of you as a child. And you might have felt like they were entitled or they had a right to demand it of you. This is definitely going to play a role in how you respond to expectations now when someone doesn't meet yours. And it will definitely play a role in how others respond to you unless you really get in there and look. So again, you're going to go back there. How did your expectations get met or not as a child? What did you have to do to get them met? So you can take these same questions and ask them about that time. Did you actually describe your expectations when you were growing up? Were you allowed to state them without being told that you were greedy or selfish or out of line? All of this, all of it comes into play when you're working with expectations and having a right to have something. See, remember, in this life that we're in, this growth experience that we forget is a growth experience, we're always standing in one of those 360-degree mirrors, right? So what's going on outside of you is a reflection of what's going on inside of you, right? No matter where you stand in that circle. So when you have expectations and they're not met, there's a ton to see about how you're thinking about relationship and life. And a ton to see about how you manage relationship within yourself. So, all right, let's take this a bit further and talk about the way we relate to life through the lens of having a right to have something we want. So I'm going to read you a paragraph, and I want you to think about how it lands for you. You have the right to live the life you want. You have the right to expect people to treat you kindly and with respect. You have the right to choose the path that you want to live. You are absolutely entitled to say no thank you to interactions and situations you don't want to participate in. And you have a right to make choices for yourself, and you are entitled to walk away if those choices don't lead to your expectations being met. This sounds good, right? It's like drawing a line in the sand about your expectations, putting a stake in the ground, pow, and being self-determined. It reminds yourself that you are free to make choices and to decide what you want and what you don't want. So this entire conversation that we've been having up to this point could be interpreted like I'm saying you don't deserve anything and you don't have a right to set your own course and you aren't entitled to be loved and cared for and supported, right, in the way that you want. But I'm actually not saying that. I'm saying that there's a lot going on in that petri dish. That's you. And when we start placing our expectations on others, on how we think life should deliver for us to us, that we've actually lost our power and are likely funneling a whole bunch about unmet needs, about mishandled expectations from others through this ideology that doesn't actually create power. We start getting superior and condescending and self-protective and defensive through this idea that I have a right to be a certain way, or I'm entitled to get what I want. And this isn't going to be the place where we ultimately win and actually get our expectations met. I said a lot there, right? I'm really just playing with this idea that what prompts us, most of us, to get entitled and righteous about getting our expectations met isn't powerful for us. It doesn't come from a powerful place. It comes from a place where we haven't yet grown or seen or related to. But that when we can come from that place, then we really do put a stake in the ground and we start to create a world that looks different. And this happens because we actually aren't settled deeply into our own process. We're not developing these expectations as an expression of our power. We're acting them out because we haven't gotten what we wanted before, or we've been expected to deliver on them at times that we weren't really being considered or aligned about them. You see, having expectations from a place of power usually means that you can be disappointed when they don't get met. and don't have to act out all over the place. It means you can stay engaged in the conversation. You don't back up. You can seek a new level of learning and be patient about what you're asking. And you can acknowledge where you may have gotten entitled and righteous. It also means that you acknowledge and look for the places that are really coming from a young place at a time when you didn't get your expectations met. So one step further, right, is having expectations is important. Noticing what you like and don't like is at the center of your self-expression for sure. Looking at the places where you feel like you have rights and are entitled is one of the ways to notice that something is missing for you. These expectations you have are kissing cousins with dreams and hopes and creating your future. And the trick is, right, to learn how to allow them to surface and be heard without necessarily acting on them and becoming demanding about them. They tell you what you're pining for. They help you see what's missing. They call you into the game of being because you notice what you'd want if you gave it a voice. And they help you see your own relationship to deservability. And this is important because most of us place some value on whether we're deserving or not. If we work hard, we're deserving. If we're lazy, we're not. If we're kind and giving to others, then we're deserving. But if we're a jerk, then we're not. And lots of time we think other people are the jerks. If we're smart and savvy, then we're deserving of success. If we're a good friend, whatever that means, then we're deserving of friendship. I'm thinking you're getting the idea. You're deserving because you walk on the planet, because you exist, because you breathe, because you are you. You deserve all that life has to offer. But it doesn't mean that because you deserve it, you will get it. It just doesn't. It also doesn't mean that all those things life has to offer, it doesn't mean that they won't be all the things you actually want. So when we're talking, we're taking on deservability as truth. You have to get that life is giving you experiences all the time as gifts to help you grow. But you have to see all of them as gifts, not just the ones you want or crafted for yourself. If you're going to stand in true deservability, then it means that you're going to be open to anything. I mean, anything that comes your way. And you're going to find the essence of it that offers something up for you to work with. So, you see, you have to break down this idea that your deservability is tied to something. Because if you don't, you'll say, well, what did I do to deserve this? Rather than, what is the learning I'm supposed to be taking from this? Deservability is an awesome way to take more space for yourself. But the minute you tie it to some criteria is the minute it loses its giftiness. And it's also the minute you become very entitled and write about it. So I may not get to the poem today, but I want to go back to the beginning and just round this stuff up before we're done. You don't have a right to get your expectations met. You are not entitled to have them met. A good part of the time, the reason we form expectations based on righteousness and entitlement is because of unmet needs from our lifetime or being on the receiving end of others' demands of us to meet their expectations that we may not have worked through. When we get ourselves at the source of our expectations and stop believing that others should meet them, then it puts us in a position, right, to ask for and learn about how to create agreements that can actually meet our expectations, and it empowers others to actually show up for us. And when we drop into what we want and desire in life and stake a claim for ourselves that we do deserve all of it, then we can get up and underneath it in such a way as to look around the world and think about how we create what we're wanting, not demand it. And this is a learning experience. It causes us to think about how we're communicating, how we create relationships, and how we're staying conscious. And lastly, I'm hoping I'm going to get this in, deservability cannot be based on some criteria. our deservability has to come from an intrinsic understanding of our divine humanness. So when we're able to come from there, then we're able to honor this in others. And entitlement and demands and righteousness, they just don't show themselves so much here because we recognize that we can be told no and still look for how to create that want or need. And we lose a level of desperation that is at play in the basic of idea. It's always at play of, I have a right to have expectations met. Well, thank you so much for being here on the show today. I appreciate getting to share ideas with you. I hope you have an awesome week as well.